The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
You have until tomorrow if you want to make an observation to the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment about the new Leaving Cert student or Leaving Cert subject that will be on climate change. Yes, there's going to be climate action and sustainable development as a Leaving Cert subject in a small number of schools from September next year. What do you make of that, John Gibbons? Is that a necessary addition to the curriculum?
Good evening, Matt. Yeah, I think it's extremely welcome. I kind of cast my mind back to an EPA survey that was published a few months back, and it found lots of encouraging things about the Irish public and climate. But what it did find is a huge knowledge gaps, really large gaps in people's basic understanding of the science. And obviously, a lot of that occurs because people were not exposed to this when they were in school, and many people are coming across it for the first time in their adult lives, and often, of course, they have to contend with misinformation. So really, the right place to get the basic facts right on any subject, whether it's English or French or Spanish or indeed climate, the right place to get that right and get people off on the right foot is within the educational system. So I'm delighted to see this being developed as part of our Leaving Cert curriculum, and I hope that it won't remain, Matt, as something in a small number of schools. I would love to see this on the curriculum of every Leaving Cert school.
But surely it should be dealt with in geography class. And okay, maybe an awful lot of people don't do geography for Leaving Cert, but it should start junior cert cycle geography from first year on. Surely it should be a major part of that and then a major component of geography for the Leaving Cert rather than necessarily having it as a separate subject.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and it reminds me that 10 years ago, back in 2014, my then 11-year-old daughter brought home her primary school geography book, and in it, it had a couple of pages on climate change, and they were garbage. I mean, quite frankly, garbage. And I contacted the publisher, who will leave their name out of it. I contacted the publisher about it, and basically they kind of put their hands in the air and said, well, you know, we give the job of writing these books to a teacher, and basically that's what he wrote. And when I followed this up the chain, Matt, back to the NCCA, the National Council for Curriculum Assessment, they basically say it's got nothing to do with us. So it is an incredible thing that even the actual textbooks that go into schools can depend on the quality of the person writing them. And there are multiple textbooks coming in from multiple sources. Now, my point, I suppose, is that geography is being taught, obviously, at primary school level. In that particular case, it has been mistaught, if you like, in relation to climate. But I would agree with you. We need, of course, climate as part of the geography course. But you see, Matt, it's so much wider than that. So, for example, the type of things that they're including in this would be critical thinking, evidence-based decision-making. For example, also tackling disinformation and the role of community. So these are way beyond the scope of a traditional geography course. And the idea really here is that climate is something that affects all aspects of our lives. It has a strong social dimension, it has an economic dimension, it has a dimension in relation to our food system, in basically our transport, everything. And I guess we're all being sort of blinded with disinformation on this subject more than probably any other. Probably I can't think of a single other area in science that is more contested than this. And of course, it's not contested, Matt, because the science isn't clear. It's contested because people, whether it's the Michael O'Leary's or other vested interests, they don't want us to understand climate change. So that's the kind of tide that we need to push against. And that's why I think it's so important that the education system, and I agree with you, by the way, of course, this should be coming through geography, but that means that people who have a good foundation in geography coming through primary and secondary school, by the time they get to Leaving Cert, we can really add on and layer that up and give them that extra understanding that they can go out into the world as informed citizens. And hopefully, Matt, in some cases, will be able to inform their parents, right? Because we have a huge problem still with climate disinformation. And if I could briefly draw your listeners' attention to an independent councillor called Emmett O'Brien from Limerick. And here's what he said at an IFA meeting. He's not a member of the IFA, by the way. He said, if we're to believe in the myth of climate change, it's a complete myth propagated by Marxist, leftist, members of the Green Party, Social Democrats, right? It's an attack on farming. It's an anti-farm policy. So this is the kind of garbage, unfortunately, that we're all up against, including from, in this case, our elected representatives. So I think it's really important that at least school children coming out through the Leaving Cert system will be able to better understand when they're being blackguarded, as in the case of Mr. O'Brien, and to be able to...
Are you a Marxist leftist?
Not even close. And I'd love to... I'm not quite sure what a Marxist leftist is. And I can't imagine Mr. O'Brien knows either. But the point is, Matt, we get so much of this garbage, and unfortunately, because somebody happens to be on a county council somewhere, this stuff ends up in the media and it percolates through, and it's a lot of self-interested nonsense. We really need to get serious about this. I think Irish people understand that we've got a massive crisis on our hands, and we can't really afford to mess around with it, you know, much longer.
Okay, I want to move on because I want to talk about this report that's been put together by a group called the Carbon Majors Database, which suggests that of the greenhouse gas emissions since 2016, and we're taking 2016 because of the Paris Agreement in late 2015, 80% of the greenhouse gases emitted throughout the entire world are linked to just 57 oil, gas, coal and cement producers, which I suppose goes to many people's argument of saying, don't be trying to blame us as individuals for global warming and climate change when it's all down to a relatively small handful of companies.
Well, the first thing I'd say, Matt, is I completely agree with that analysis. I think there's been very clever attempts, particularly by oil companies, at blame shifting and doing things like, you know, carbon calculators, you know, work out your climate impact rather than, of course, while they continue doing exactly what they're doing. But to return to your point, this particular study found that since the Paris Agreement in 2015, which basically said, you know, we need to start moving away as rapidly as possible and decarbonizing our societies, that 2/3 of state entities and 55% of private sector companies have scaled up production. And what we've seen in more recent times are companies like Shell and BP, who were making great noise 3 or 4 or 5 years ago about their climate commitments, have basically walked away from them and said, no, we're not doing that. We have no interest. Now, we knew at the time that they were being disingenuous, but at least they were pretending. Whereas now they've essentially said, no, we're just going to continue doing what we do. And anyway, there's demand. But the critical thing here is this demand isn't being driven by the public. This demand is being driven by these organizations, some of which are state companies, many of which are private companies. And these are the trillion-dollar industries. This is the world's, the wealthiest industry in the history of the world, and they're sitting on trillions and trillions of dollars worth of assets in the form of coal and oil and gas, and they are determined, even if they have to burn the world down in the process, that they and their shareholders are going to continue to get stonkingly rich burning and releasing this gas, and they have absolutely zero interest in the science. And I think that loops back to our earlier discussion, Matt, why it's so important that young people in particular understand that they're dealing with a class and a generation of people, of adults, who are basically trying to kill us all. And by the way, that is not hyperbole. I mean, if these folks that we're describing here get their way, we're going to have mass fatalities in the coming decades. And I mean mass on a scale like we've
never
seen.
Okay, but John...
Yeah.
You know, you disagreed with my initial premise to you, which I'm surprised, because even if it is 57 companies that are linked to 80% of the emissions, we all consume the oil, the gas, the coal and cement that they produce in the first place. They wouldn't be actually doing this unless they had us to buy from them. So it is partially our responsibility as well. But what I'm also really interested in, and it's a bit like, you know, Joe Biden condemning Israel for what it's doing in Gaza and still sending guns and other ammunition to Israel, in the same way that we keep saying we can't have more carbon emissions, and yet the American government and other governments are still allowing exploration licenses for more oil, which is why there's more oil now being taken out of the ground than at any stage in previously.
You're entirely correct. And if we were to take a relatively neutral industry arbiter on this. This is the International Energy Agency. And these are not tree huggers, Matt. They basically came out with a report about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they said that we cannot have any new oil or gas fields added to the existing global supply. And if we continue down this route, then we're going to smash through 1.5, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and directly on into global climate collapse. And we're in the unfortunate situation that these folks understand that perfectly, but they're determined in the meanwhile to to make as much money as possible before everything goes south. And I take your point, by the way. Of course, there's an element of dual responsibility here. Of course, we as consumers and as users of these products, we're partly implicated. It's one of the reasons why climate is such an emotive subject and why people get so upset about it, because we realize that in our everyday lives, we're contributing to a problem that we're both alarmed about and also contributing to. So, of course, that leaves people to feel conflicted and to feel angry and to maybe want to deny the whole thing. But I think it's critical to stress that the folks who have invested hundreds of millions of dollars over the last number of decades in climate disinformation, in buying politicians, in corrupting news and media outlets into providing false statements and false information around climate change, these are the same companies that we're now saying are turning up the spigot, Matt. So it isn't fair to say that, well, they're just providing a service. It's like saying your drug dealer is just providing a service. It's a little bit more sinister than that, especially
okay. If
the drug dealer is also banging on your door at 12 o'clock at night.
We have lots of comments coming into 0874 100 102. One says there has already been a junior cycle short course put together. It's called climateactionshortcourse.ie. It's been done in St Finian's Community College in Swords, and there are over 20 pilot schools in the country. That's good to know. Another one, secondary science teacher here. We cover the science, social, environmental aspects thoroughly. The problem is science is not compulsory in all schools, which in this day and age is mind-boggling. Another one says, geography isn't even a compulsory subject in my daughter's secondary school, even from first year. Can't understand that in the current climate. However, there's another listener who says, this is indoctrination that you're proposing, not education. And another one says, yeah, brainwash them when they're young at school about the man-made climate change con, as many scientists disagree in humans causing change as agree with it. We need a proper global debate between both sides before we spend trillions on a hypothesis. I think, John, it's fair to say there are not as many scientists who disagree on humans causing climate change as those who agree with that.
Again, Matt, this has been thoroughly, painstakingly studied. And the critical people to talk to here are the scientists who are publishing, the ones who are carrying out the research, the ones doing the fieldwork, and the ones publishing in the peer-reviewed press. When you look at that cohort, not the retired emeritus scientists who like getting their name in the paper, but I'm talking about the practicing publishing scientists, the consensus there is somewhere between 99 and 100%. It is a much stronger consensus in science than the consensus that linking, for example, tobacco, smoking, and lung cancer. This is probably the strongest scientific consensus in the modern era. The scope for debate and dispute, and including that nonsensical remark from your last listener, indicates that there are bad faith actors out there, particularly financed in many cases from the fossil fuel industry, who want to keep us in the dark so that they and their shareholders can continue to profit as the world burns down.
Thank you, John Gibbons.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.